We're turning back again to Acts chapter 16. And in verses 14 and 15, we have Scripture's brief account of the salvation of Lydia. And that's what we want to concentrate upon this morning as we come into the house of the Lord. The Lord opened Lydia's heart. And let's bow together, first of all, for prayer and ask the Lord's blessing upon the preaching of his word. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wouldst draw near and by thy Spirit touch our hearts. And, O God, open our hearts to thy word. And if there be those without Christ, Lord, open that sinner's heart to trust in the Lord Jesus and to take him by faith as their Saviour. And, O God, we pray that thou wouldst sanctify this time to us. Lord, make this holy ground and the very gate of heaven to our souls. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst indeed draw very graciously near and minister to every heart. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. In chapter 16 of the Acts of the Apostles, we have the stories of three conversions to Jesus Christ. No two conversions are exactly the same. And as you read this chapter, you will gather that to be the case, that each one of them was different. Their circumstances were different. The circumstances surrounding each person coming to faith in the Lord Jesus was different. And even though their backgrounds were different and their experience of gospel knowledge may have been different and the sins in which they indulged may have been different, yet there's one thing in common, that all three conversions experienced, and everybody who comes to Christ experiences it as well, and that is, all are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And that's a truth of the gospel that will never change. It was something rediscovered at the time of the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. And Martin Luther underlined this great truth as he saw it being a scriptural truth, that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Nothing is added, nothing is subtracted. Christ alone is the Saviour of sinners. In Acts 16 here, we have the account of Lydia's unique conversion to Jesus Christ. The inspired record here tells us that, first of all, something about Lydia's background before her conversion. And it says that she was from Thyatira. It mentions something about her nationality, tells us where she was from. And the very fact that it tells us that, it enables us to understand something about her background and about the years prior to her conversion. We're told that she was of the city of Thyatira before coming to Philippi. She traveled from there. to Philippi because she was on a particular errand. And she was in Philippi when Paul arrived, and she was in a place where she could hear the gospel story and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior and come to personal salvation and faith in Christ. Now, Thyatira, today, that would be the country of Turkey. It's in the land of Turkey today. It wasn't Turkey then, but it's Turkey now. And the place that is now known as Thyatira, it means the place of graves. The place of graves. And so, taking the meaning of Thyatira being a graveyard of some kind, it speaks of death. And Lydia came from a background of death. And it speaks of her condition without Christ. It speaks of her condition in her unsaved days, living in the place of death and of darkness and without hope. Nothing changes, does it? Because all men are born in sin. Everybody is born in trespasses and in iniquities, as the Bible tells us. And every unsaved person is living in the place of death. There is physical death. We all die. As in Adam, we have sinned and we die. And the Bible speaks that so-and-so lived and he died. And then so-and-so lived and he died. And death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All have sinned in Adam. And we're living in the place of death. But not only is there physical death, but there's spiritual death. There is spiritual death. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul tells us that we're dead in trespasses and in sins. We live in spiritual death. Such a death leaves sinners insensible to the things of God. Such a death leaves them in a condition of helplessness. They can't do anything about that state of affairs. Dead in trespasses and in sins. Sinners' hearts move not in love towards Christ. Sinners' hearts are cold. They're indifferent. Sinners' hearts are wicked. Their eyes see no suitableness or loveliness in Christ. He has grown up, as it were, as a tender plant and a root out of a dry ground. He hath no comeliness that we should desire him. That's the state of a sinner without Christ, without God. And if you're here this morning and you're without Christ and without God, then you're in a state of death. Not only physically, but spiritually. And when the body dies and the soul departs, without Christ, that soul goes out into a lost eternity without hope forevermore. And so we do need to be warned, and we do need to be made aware over and over again. We need to be reminded of our state without the Lord Jesus. Such was Lydia's state. Her background tells us that. She came from a place of death. She lived in the town of the graveyard, without God, without eternal life, and without hope within her soul. She could not hear his voice. She was deaf to that voice. She could not see the loveliness of Christ. She was blind to the Lord Jesus. She saw no sweetness in his name. Unlike the hymn writer, when he wrote how sweet the name of Jesus sounds. In a believer's ear, maybe you're here this morning, and the name of Jesus is not sweet in your ear, because you know him not. He's not your Savior. You don't know the Lord Jesus, and you don't know your sins forgiven. It's been the prayer of many that you will come to that place, even where Lydia came to, when she sat by the riverside in a place where prayer was wont to be made, seeking God, but yet still without God, still without Christ, worshipping by the riverside. Many are like that today. They might be in the place where God is worshipped, but they're without Christ and without hope. Dear friend, it's our prayer that you'll come. Such was Lydia's condition before her conversion to Christ. The Bible also tells us that Lydia was a seller of purple. She was a seller of purple, verse 14. And from the Bible we learn and understand that purple was a colour which was associated with wealth and with royalty. So Lydia was a well-to-do person. She was one who circulated amongst the higher echelons of society. But she was without Christ. She was without God. She was a businesswoman without Christ. A seller of purple, a dealer in such things that had to do with royalty. And that brought her into contact with people in high society. But yet she was without Christ. There are many today who walk such a life and live such a life. And they're without Christ and they're without hope. In Esther chapter 8 and verse 15, we read about the colour of purple concerning Mordecai in Persia. And it says, Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel. And that royal apparel was made of blue and white, with a great crown of gold. All these colours and things are associated with royalty, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And purple. That's how he went out from King Ahasuerus, clothed in king's apparel, in colours and refinery that has to do with royalty. And in Luke chapter 16, verse 19, we read concerning the rich man. We read that there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. So these clothings and colours and such feasting, all associated with royalty and richness and with wealth. And so we find here a lady called Lydia, and we can take it that she was a woman of means. She was a woman of means. She was in Philippi, and it may have been due to her visiting some opulent people with a desire to open up new markets for her trade, with a desire to increase her profitability for the people for whom she worked, so that they might increase their business. It seems that business was this woman's consuming passion. Business was her trade. It was her life. Because of this, Christ and eternal matters came far down her list of priorities. Is that not the case oftentimes with people of this world? Oh yes, they may enjoy opulence, they may enjoy a good living, but the Lord Jesus Christ comes far down their list of priorities in life. That would seem to be the case with Lydia. She was career-oriented. She was taken up with her job. And her only drive in life was to climb the ladder of success. And Jesus warned, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And yet, Lydia, prior to her conversion, in spite of all this, she had a religious background. We find her adhering to the fourth commandment when she arrived in Philippi. We find her on the Sabbath day engaging in worship of God, Jehovah. Sitting by the riverside, she was a non-Jew, she would have been a Gentile, but she had come acquainted with the God of the Hebrews. And she had learned the commandments. She had learned some knowledge of the God of Israel. And she worshipped that God, but she knew him not. She knew him not. There are many today who, in a sense, have a religious knowledge. They have been taught the commandments. They have been taught portions of Scripture. They have been taught the catechism. And they have a knowledge of the things of God, but they know not Christ. They know not God personally. I wonder, would I be addressing any here today? And that would be your situation? Oh yes, you have a knowledge of the things of God. You have a knowledge even of Christ to a certain degree. You know the story of the cross and of Calvary. You know the wicked things that were done to Christ. And perhaps in some measure you have sympathy towards him for the wickedness that was meted out against him. But you don't know Christ as your Savior. You don't know the Lord. My dear friend, it takes much more than just a knowledge of Scripture and some knowledge of religion and to be able to repeat verses of the Bible. That will never get you into heaven. That will never take you to the doors of glory. You need Christ, because he is the door, and he alone can save, and he alone can bring sinners to the knowledge of sins forgiven. And my dear friend, today you need Christ in your heart. You need to know him as your own and personal Savior. This woman's condition resembles many across the world at this time. And even this very day, many churches are occupied with people who have a religious background and a knowledge of religion, but they know not Christ. In fact, down deep in their heart, they're opposed to Christ. They're opposed to God's way of salvation. They would argue with you and me about the way of the cross. And they would not like to be told that they were sinners. And that they were on their way to hell. And that they'll perish in hell forever if they don't come as a sinner to Christ. My friend, tell them personally of their need and they will reject it. Yes, many houses of God today, and there are many religious people there, gathered like Lydia by the riverside, and they think they're worshipping God. But friend, their hearts are far from Him. Their souls are estranged from Him. And in essence, they know Him not. So I would, in simplicity this morning, urge that if there be any today in this house with a similar background to Lydia, that you become concerned about your need. Cry out to the Lord. Pray, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord promises that such will go home to their house justified, believing and assured of their sins forgiven. Yes, here in Acts chapter 16, it reveals to us that certain particulars led Lydia to her conversion. Certain particulars led her. For a start, there was a man sent from God. All the way from Israel. All the way from Jerusalem via Antioch and other cities en route. Sent by God to Philippi. We read the story in the early part of the chapter, how that Paul and Silas and his companions set out to go to Asia to preach the word. But they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go to Asia. And then he purposed in his heart to go into Bithynia, and the Holy Spirit forbid them not. And then we read that in the night season, the Holy Spirit showed Paul, the apostle. He showed him in a vision, a man from Macedonia praying and crying, come over and help us. And that man was from Macedonia, the chief city of that area, which was Philippi. And loosing from Troas, Paul and his companions set out across the Aegean Sea, and they arrive in Macedonia, and up over the hills they journeyed on until they came to Philippi. And on the first Sabbath day, they went out by the riverside to a place where prayer was wont to be made. And there they spoke to a number of people and to Lydia. And I believe Paul spoke personally to Lydia, because it says she heard the word that was spoken to her by Paul. And as Paul spoke to her, something happened within. There was a change came over her. There was the knowledge of gospel truth imparted into her soul, and God opened her heart. The Holy Spirit worked in such a mighty way that the hard heart of Lydia was opened to the gospel, and she received Christ. And the proof of her salvation is in the fact that if Paul and his companions felt her worthy, that she invited them to her house. And the fact that they came to her house confirms the genuineness of her conversion to Christ. What a glorious experience of salvation she enjoyed that day. Her heart was opened in spite of her religious background, in spite of her business world of travel and making money, in spite of where she came from, a place of death and destruction. Thank God, she's now a new creature. She's in Christ. She belongs to the Lord. You see, it happened in a moment of time. Salvation is an instantaneous experience. The moment we believe, we're transformed, we're changed. John Wesley said, as soon as my all I ventured on the atoning blood, he was born of God. And my friend is still the same. As soon as we come to Christ, we're born of God. And here is Lydia, and she's a new creature in Christ. God had sent a man to bring the message to her. God had only sent a man, but he sent a man with a message. With a message. Paul didn't preach philosophy. He didn't preach politics. He didn't preach the stories of the day. He preached Christ unto her. He preached the word. He preached the gospel unto her. Not only that, but we're told that God opened her heart. God alone opens the heart. The scripture beautifully puts it, whose heart the Lord opened. A heart that had been shut is now opened. A heart that had been shut by the world is now opened. A heart that was shut by business is now opened. Shut by family, shut by friends, shut by pleasures, shut by unbelief, shut by skepticism and prejudice, shut by religion. It's now opened. Opened by God. Paul didn't open Lydia's heart. No other person opened it. God opened it. No preacher, however gifted, or however filled with the Holy Spirit, can do that. Only God. God opened Lydia's heart. How could she, a sinner, be saved? God opened her heart. And my friend, thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to do that today. Salvation is of the Lord. And we see also that we are sure that Lydia's conversion was real. She repented and she was baptized. And it took courage to take a stand in baptism, even in public by the riverside. As the world looked on, even enemies of the gospel maybe beholding, here's a woman with courage, standing up for her Lord and Savior, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, taking her stand for the Lord Jesus. God wants us not to be ashamed of the Lord or his gospel, his truth. Whether it be in the home, whether we be the only believer there or not. Whether it be in the classroom, in the college, in the workplace, in the marketplace. God wants us to stand up for Jesus Christ, that others might know that we've been with him and that we defend his cause. Let us take that stand in the days to come, whatever the cost might be, knowing that the Lord is glorified, knowing that we too have life everlasting, and as a witness, we trust that that life everlasting will come to others through our faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lydia shows her love for God now. And she shows her love for the brethren, the people of God. And she shows her love for the church. She shows her love for all that is of God. Things have changed. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. She's a new creature in Christ. Lydia was soundly converted. Her life was changed. She's now in Christ. I ask you as we close, are you in Christ today? Are you converted? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? He died on the cross. He shed His blood. He suffered in our place. He rose again. He's alive. He's ascended on high. He's coming again. But thank God He's able to save, and able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by Him. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that today Thou would bless Thy word. Lord, make it a word in salvation to a lost soul. Even, Lord, a word of restoration to a backslidden soul. Lord, make it a word of exhortation to those who are the children of God. Surely we have a right to shout and sing. May the way grow brighter as we move towards heaven and home. And grant, O God, that our lives and our testimonies may shine for Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Let's sing in closing hymn number 312. Hymn number 312. My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me.